Good morning, witches. This is the Witch Daily Show, coming to you from New Orleans, with host Tanya Brown. Our episodes span about 20 minutes long to give you just a little pop of magic. So, tune in, take a deep breath, and enjoy.
Good morning, witches. It is March 13th, 2024. It is Wednesday. I am Tanya, and this is the Witch Daily Show. Today's episode is brought to you by the Grimoire Society. So let's get your day going with a little magic. Our quote of the day we're not doing today, and we're talking a little about the bleeding heart. And we're talking about bleeding heart in terms of health benefits, which I'm going to be honest, I did not think it had any. So I was really surprised to find that it actually does. Now, of course, if you should or shouldn't, like, that is something you need to figure out with you and, like, your doctor. But yeah. So this comes to us from neuropathic doctor news or naturopathic doctor news, which is a blog, and it's titled Remembering a Forgotten Medicine. The bleeding heart was once well known as an herbal remedy, but has fallen into obscurity. Potential anti-cancer remedies, as well as topical and internal sedatives, suggest that it's worth reviewing. It belongs to the Fumaraceae family, and is closely related to the Papaversi family, making it a cousin to things such as opium poppy. And yeah, really interesting. So it can be used medicinally, but it seems to have a lot of, like, sedative effects. So it might not be one you would want to explore on your own, and I'm not really recommending. All right, moving into some headlines. This comes to us from literaryhub.com. How witches shifted from daily healers to heretics and dangerous women under Christian rule. What is a witch, right? Oh, what a question. And we will not be getting into that today. But in early history, magic was considered to be a powerful, innate ability that existed within healers and shamans and religious leaders across multiple cultures. It allowed them to go beyond natural abilities to change the world in inexplicable ways. Communities would have several magical workers, combining medical work with, like, priestly roles. So there was never quite a clear line between magical healing and harming, since good and bad magic were two aspects of the same force. On Monday, a user of magic might bless you, and on Thursday, they might curse you. This was just how things were. If you felt a magically gifted person was using that force to do harm, you might vilify them as a witch, a user of evil magic, and you might hold a local trial and mandate repentance. You might banish or kill the witch if their crimes weren't acceptable. But witchcraft accusations would not spread widely, and on the whole, you would not begin to believe all magic was evil. Some societies were concerned about this possibility. The ancient Greeks and Romans feared magic was inherently ungodly. But most retained a blurry notion that magic was a force for good. And this changed in Europe, especially in regards to the study of devils, demons, demonology. And then by the 1400s, the Christian clergyman developed demonology had convincingly claimed unique insight into the workings of the cosmos and God's will. Now, demonologists argued witchcraft was not just good magic gone bad, but it was envisioned as a career committed to wickedness and setting itself against the church. So I think that's really fascinating that, and I think this is something we've known, but witchcraft was never not never, but for a long time, it wasn't deemed wholly evil until these Christian clergymen started writing these like documents of why it was wicked and why it was bad, and purely because it went against the kind of new Roman liege. So if this subject interests you, there's a new book. It's called Witchcraft, A History of 13 Trials by Marian Gibson, and you should definitely check it out. All right, witches, I'm going to throw this over to our moon correspondent, and after this break, we will talk more.
Hello to all of my astro friends. This is Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, coming at you with your daily moon mantra for Wednesday, March 13th. The waxing crescent moon continues to indulge in Taurus today. Here, the moon conjuncts Jupiter. With these two paired up, we can't help but be optimistic. Jupiter has us seeing the bright side of things and ready to take on the world. With the ruler of Jupiter in Pisces, all of our efforts are being supported. So, we should make the best of this energy. Since the energy is focused in Taurus, taking some time to treat ourselves is the vibe of the day. We can spend a lot of time waiting for someone to see our value and give us the things that we need. But why wait on someone else to do this? Take some time today to give yourself those things that you want and need. No one knows better than you how much you deserve it. Your daily moon mantra is, you must be fearless enough to give yourself the love that you do not receive. This has been your Daily Moon Mantra with Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, signing off and reminding you that you are in charge of your own destiny.
Attention, witches! This is Nina Moreau broadcasting a special alert from the Grimoire Society. We ask that witches please remember to subscribe to the new monthly newsletter. While we love psychically sending you every spell, recipe, penny dreadful, and conjure advice that we have, spirit representatives have asked that we cease clogging up the ether. We have contracted a special team of messenger pigeons to deliver your monthly newsletter directly to your doorstep. For only $5, you can sign up for this elusive serial at www.thegrimoiresociety.com. Remember, this notice is for witches only. If you are not a witch and have somehow come across this broadcast, you will forget all that you've heard in 3, 2.
All right, so we are back. And speaking about the Grimoire Society, there is now the ability to nominate someone to receive a free year subscription to the Grimoire Society. If you would like to nominate yourself or somebody else, you can go over to thegrimoiresociety.com. There is a link in the main menu. Let me double check. I know what that link is. Yes, in the main menu, the link is Bequest. Click Bequest, and you can nominate yourself or someone else to receive a free year of the Grimoire Society. Not going to lie, I am loving the tone, the vibe, the everything about this. And I think it's a really exciting new chapter in witchcraft media, personally. All right, witches, let's go over a few questions from our listeners. This comes to us from listener Jerrica. Jerrica writes, I need some help. I recently lost my amethyst necklace and I've looked everywhere. Can someone tell me a spell I can do to find it? Please and thank you. Now, I know we've all lost things. Truthfully, depending on the situation, it is either an emergency or it's something that can wait. For me, usually it's something that can wait. I tend to stay in the same areas. Sometimes I'll lose something and I'll be like, oh, I don't know where I put that thing. Well, I know it's in the house, so I know I'll stumble upon it eventually. And I always do. But then there's those moments where you're like, I need my car keys right now. I'm already late for this appointment and I'm about to tear apart this house, you know? And I feel like it's kind of different things that we need based off of the situation that we're in. And more importantly, how desperate we are to find the item. Now, we have some great advice. So this is from Nicole, and I really like this for if you're in a hurry. And this is a really common one I've heard. It's basically a plea to Saint Anthony. I think he's the patron saint of lost things. And Nicole says, repeat, Tony, Tony, look around. Something is lost and must be found. Then state what the missing object is and visualize it in your mind coming to you. I typically make an offering to Tony afterwards, whether I find the object right away or not. Apparently, our friend Tony is the saint of lost and stolen things and will get them back. Mine is a little bit more divination leaning, and I say, sketch a layout of your house, hold a pendulum over each room, and see how it reacts. If you need to narrow down the sketch of a room, you can do that as well. Kimmy says, it's a little crazy, but it works for me often. And when it doesn't, I still end up in a better place than I started. Start with taking, close your eyes, and ask yourself, what is the most likely place for this thing to be? And if you have no idea, ask yourself what the most chaotic space in your life is. Put an orange peel, a stick of cinnamon, 4 to 5 cloves, and a few drops of vanilla in a simmer pot. Fill a bucket with your favorite all-purpose cleaner, water, a rag, and go to that area you first identified, the chaotic or most likely spot. Say, Saint Anthony, please come around. Something is lost and needs to be found. Then start to pick up every item in the area and ask yourself, is this where this belongs? If yes, wipe it down and the surface underneath and return it. Repeat with everything in the room till you find what you until you find what you've lost or until you've touched everything in the room. Continue until the house is clean or you find it. Once the house is clean, if you still don't have it, move to the car, then the yard, then the office, then the gym. Once you find it, thank St. Anthony and enjoy your clean space. Honestly, Kimmy, legit. I love that idea. That's brilliant. Lilith says, I stand in the middle of my house and I loudly announce, I am a great witch. I will find what I'm looking for. Today, I am looking for blank. I bring up only that item in my mind, turn it over and over, slowly open my eyes and start to wander around the house, touching things, wandering, going the direction I'm pulled. Sometimes I find stuff I have intended to but forgot about, and sometimes it just sort of pops into my head. This is all, like, I'm going to be honest, I think these are very few responses, but like some of the best responses. I'm actually going to save this post because I feel like I need to like document this for the future. So I'm going to save it to my later file because this is just great advice all around, I think. All right, this comes to us from listener Tara. Tara says, hi, witches. This past Tuesday, my favorite tree was lost to high winds. I think it may have done some kind of, or it may have had some sort of root problem since the entire thing fell over. Oh no, hopefully nothing was like damaged. Falling trees is so scary. She says there was minimal to no damage. Oh, good. My question instantly answered. So Tara says, my question is, do you ever get really frustrated knowing that you did all the protection magic and warding you could do when things like this still happen? I know that maybe my efforts did work because there was minimal damage, but I'm still sad that I won't see this tree doing its thing anymore. It's a butternut tree, and all I was told when we bought the property, and I'll include photos in the comments. Oh, Tara, I definitely understand. You know, it's hard. You feel like you put in all this work, and you ground, and you do your daily stuff, and you spell it up, and sometimes stuff still goes not the way we want. I have a really great story about something that I thought didn't come to fruition, but in reality, it did, just in a much better way. So I have shared in the past, I am from a very low income situation. And sometimes my mom reveals it's always worse than I previously thought, or it was worse than I previously thought. We're in much better places now. And I grew up very housing insecure. We moved all the time. I think for a few years, I was taken in by my grandmother, not my biological grandmother, but when I mention a grandmother, it's her I'm talking about. She just took us in, you know, she was not obligated. And so homes and houses have really big emotions for me and my mom. We both grew up in a very just insecure housing situation. So there was a moment a few years ago where we thought, oh gosh, she might be able to purchase a home. and it was going to be next to her childhood best friend. It was the perfect size. It was perfect. Perfect. It was in the area she loved, next to her best friend who she's going to grow old with. And it was literally amazing. And then it was the previous home of her friend's past father. So her friend really wanted her to have the house too. She's like, if anyone's going to live in my dad's house, I want it to be you. But it was just literally struggle after struggle after struggle after obstacle after obstacle after obstacle. And both my mom and her friend just seemed to be in quite a bit of distress over it. And I wanted her to have this too. I wanted both of them to have it, you know, have this dream of, you know, we all have the dream of like living next to your best friend, you know. And if anyone deserved it, it was these two people. And I remember I did a spell that I just wanted my mom to get her home. I wanted her to get her house. And it didn't come. It didn't come. It didn't happen. And it took maybe 6 months. And my mom's friend's realtor reached out to her. And she says, actually, hey, on the same cul-de-sac, the same model, all these upgrades with the same price, they're going to build it from scratch. Do you want it? And literally the type of contract it was one of those situations where she wouldn't have been able to do it in any traditional way because it was like a special loophole offer the builder had, she was able to do it. So not only did my mom get to have a house on the same cul-de-sac as her best friend, it was the model she wanted, the same price as the other house with all the upgrades. And actually, just me and my mom last night were sitting on the porch, just kind of in awe of the fact that there is a house, you know. And I think for people who grew up in a housing insecure situation, you understand how much gravity there is for a home to exist for you to go to. And I think we were both a little overwhelmed with how amazing that was. And here's the thing, is that my spell worked. She got her house, the house they thought she wanted at the time, but she got the house she was supposed to have. And so I think sometimes we do think that our spells aren't working when in reality they actually really, really are. And sometimes it is bigger and better than what we think we want at that moment. Lilith responds and says, she thinks that the tree may have fell over from lack of water, but it is the circle of life and all that jazz. I would go get a couple of big sticks and have a nice bonfire for the tree, collect the ashes for earth magic. And I think that's a really sweet idea. Dexter says, have you thought about planting another, perhaps from another tree in the same spot as that one? But yeah, I think your spell worked, Tara. I think it just didn't work in the way you hoped it would. So just know that your protection spell probably kept that tree from doing damage elsewhere or damage to other trees or damage to further property. So you witched it up. You did it. You did good. Yeah. All right. So we have another one from Stephanie. Stephanie says, advice needed. My lovely cat hopped into my altar, and when I turned around to tell him to get off, he freaked out and yeeted himself and my selenite tower off the table. My tower fell and split in half. What do I do with this? Oh, no. What do I do? Okay, that's a good question. I don't even know what I would do with, like, a split crystal. Do you just now have two crystals? Is that, like, how that works? Nicole says, cats can be such turds sometimes. Sorry about your selenite tower. Nicole says, sorry about your tower, but hey, now you have two. That's what I thought, right? Like you just get two crystals. Depending on how it broke and the remaining pieces, you could use those pieces to make something else. But maybe put one of the pieces in a spell jar or a mojo bag with herbs. Again, cats can be turds sometimes. Tara says, maybe he's your familiar and knew you were up for the challenge. I take pieces of selenite and put them in my magical jewelry for charging. But agree with Nicole. Use your intuition to find a new use. Good. Lilith says, I would break it up and use it in spell jars or something along those lines. If the piece is big, Enough, maybe laying it on its back, on a tray. Oh, that could be really cute. Tara says, cool, now you have more than one. Dang cats. Yeah, now you have two crystals. I like that. But like, I totally get it. Like, I wouldn't really know what to do either. I'm not really a crystal person. And if one of the few I had broke, I'd be like, how do I work with this now? But I love those really sweet pieces of advice. All right, witches. We are wrapping up this episode of the Witch Daily Show. I want to give a shout out to listener Sherry Taylor. Sherry, you talented, playful, tropical fish. Midnight Lightning, you perfect, playful unicorn nurse. Lisa Lord, you glowing, bombastic fire dragon. And Emmy Jean, you Arcadian poetic moth. Thank you for so much for being Patreon supporters. I really appreciate it. And that's all I've got for you today. We're doing a card pull break because the one we've been using has been hurting my feelings and I'm waiting for a new one. So that's all I got for you today. Don't forget any books, decks, headlines, sources, anything we reference can be found in the podcast episode description or witchpod.com. And we'll talk again tomorrow. Bye.
Witches, we hope you have a wonderful day, full of joy and gentleness and confidence. Links for this week's episodes, our website, Patreon, along with a free daily card pull can be found at witchpod.com. One stop for everything we talk about. Now, take one more deep breath and have a great day.